Should have stayed in the hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for thinking that. Now
there's nowhere to go. Yeah. There's nowhere to go. Are you high?
No.
Are you high? Are you high?
What? Can you at least sit still?
Yes, I'm not going to move, guys. I'm focused. Right,
okay.
I'm on it.
All right.
Focus.
Your eyes are good.
I promise.
I don't care if you're focused.
What kind of question is that in my eye? What kind of question is that?
You know what? You're correct. That was I should not have even asked that. That was
a ridiculous thing.
It's pretty sleepless. Yeah. Dave with the suit, ice in his veins. Josh cracking jokes, never mundane. Oh my wild card, twisting your brain. Together they roll, FTS the name. Life's petty props, kick to the curb. Dave got the logic, never disturbed. Josh with the punchline, sharp like a verb. Oh my the eccentric, slick like an herb. Friends talking shop.
Hello everyone and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop. This is going to be a great episode because we've been prepping a long time for this one. Episode 88 is coming to you live from the number one podcast from the western suburbs of Philadelphia.
There we go.
Is that right? You're
yeah,
west,
western
right?
Suburbs. Yeah, very yeah, good.
So, number one podcast, number one comedy podcast of the western Philadelphia suburbs.
Cigarettes.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Are those yours?
See, Omar is in Europe, what you need to tell everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Omar, see, you're on a podcast. You can't really tell people they drop their cigarettes during Dave's intro.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm in an undisclosed location on an island.
Yeah, next time someone walks by and drops their cigarettes, you got to let it slide. It's bad,
okay.
It's bad for them anyway. They don't need to pick them up. Yeah. You're doing them a favor. You're doing them a favor. You just gave that guy lung cancer. You contributed
Let's
to his lung
moving.
Cancer. Does that feel good?
Let's keep moving.
Right, let's keep going.
Ooh.
Go ahead, Dave.
We are the FTS Podcast. I am your host, Dave, trying to work our way through. This is going to be a difficult podcast to get through. I can
Apparently.
Tell already. This is we're going to do our best to get ourselves through. But we're happy to be back, and I'm happy to be with my co-hosts and see them. It's been a while. My other co-host, I just want to introduce all of you to, is Josh. Josh, how are you doing?
Wow, it's been so long. And I just want to, on behalf of all of us, just apologize to all the fans. We have never been this delinquent getting out a new episode. But a lot has happened since we met last.
This is the equivalent of like having a girlfriend or her being late on her period.
It is?
It was probably it was very difficult for our audience. You're probably getting nervous.
Stressful.
It might be a different type of nervous, but okay. Yeah, I could see that. That's a fine analogy.
Well, it came, guys. Audience, we had it. This is it.
You're in the clear. You're in the clear. You're not going to be a pod daddy. Anyway, so a lot has happened since we've seen you guys last, or since I've seen you guys last. A very big event. My daughter graduated from college.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So that's one more off the payroll, or the first off the payroll. But
we'll see about that.
Yeah, right, exactly. We had quite an she's got a job. She's got a job, so it's going as planned so far. But we had quite an experience. It was a comedy of errors. It was an awesome weekend. Awesome long weekend, great graduation, great ceremony. Everything was awesome. But everything around it seemed to be a little bit of a circus. And so I'll give you a little taste. We got an Airbnb. So it was myself, my wife, my son, and then my parents who came in from Florida and my sister also who came in from Philadelphia. And we all decided to stay in an Airbnb together. And we got this Airbnb. My dad got it actually and went to the Airbnb and it wouldn't open. And they gave us a code and everything and it wouldn't open. And I'm like, well, this is weird. Omar disappeared for any of you watching this on YouTube.
Your story is taking too
long. You can't do that, Omar. Stay focused. Stay on here. Come on, stay with us. It's like you know, with a patient who's like got blunt force trauma to their head.
The lights.
And you got to talk to them. You got to talk to them. Stay with us now. Listen to my voice. Stay with us.
The light is my ADD.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Just going zero in here, Omar. Come on. Do you have any Adderall? Ask someone there if they have any Adderall. There's got to be
sure
Adderall there.
Has Adderall
All
here.
Right, well, pop two or three.
I've never taken Adderall, by the way.
Well, you kind of should. I'm not a doctor, but I'm gonna prescribe it.
David, do you agree with this?
Yes, he does.
For right now, I think it would be a great use of the drug. Yes. Yeah, most people don't need it. I think you are one of the people that need
it. But for
it.
Our listeners, ask your doctor about Adderall and what it can do for you and what it does to your perineum, by the way, if there's any side effects. It seems like they all affect the perineum. Anyway, so the Airbnb was a complete disaster. We went to it. We couldn't get in. We're like, what's going on here? I'm like, I don't understand. So I text the guy. I'm like, I can't get in the front door. And he's like, well, you're not going in the front door. You have to go around back. Yours is the top. And I'm like, in the top? We walk around back and up three flights of stairs, back stairs, by the way, raggedy, woody, you know, not good, well-kept back stairs, is our Airbnb. Now, my mother has Parkinson's. So her mobility is not the best. And we're like, holy shit, she's not going to be able to climb these stairs. This is crazy.
Wait, was this a bait and switch? Was it a ground floor place and you rented it?
This is a great question because it kind of was a bait and switch because the pictures that you see on the Airbnb, number one, are pictures of the front door at the ground level. That's number one.
And that's it?
Yes. Well, and then the inside.
That's the only picture
Then the inside. Then the inside. Then the inside.
David, do you detect a trend here? It's Josh, because Josh never gets like a 5-star Airbnb.
This was my dad.
Like a 2.5
My dad secured it.
My point is, there's something, I don't know, I'm not going to say you people, because that would be
that's
anti-Semitic.
Awful. Yeah. Okay? You shouldn't have said that either.
I will say, I mean, why don't you spend a little money on this
we
stuff
did.
And deal with this
Listen,
stuff happening?
We are. You got to remember, this is right graduation. There's only so many options, number one, because you're at graduation, everyone and their mother has come in. And they're all the hotels, all the Airbnbs. I mean, it's all getting filled up. I go, let me go up and see if that's all right. So I walk all the way up the stairs. I go in, and it's not a bad place. But my mother's not going to make it up these stairs. It's not going to happen. And we have to continuously go up and down these stairs. So I call the guy. I'm like, listen, you didn't advertise that it's third floor. So not only are there no pictures of the stairs, but there's no writing that says third floor.
That's terrible.
Correct. Exactly. And what if someone was in a wheelchair? There's no way they'd get up there. It's impossible.
Right.
So I call him back. I'm like, look, do you own this whole building? He's like, yes. I was like, so is the ground floor one open? He goes, no, that's being used. I said, what about the second floor, the mid floor? No, you can have that one. I'm like, is it the same as the top one? Yeah, pretty much. Fine. We'll take it. So he gives me the code for the second one. I'm thinking my mother can at least get up one flight. But it's slow. We get her up there. We go in.
God.
The place is nothing like the one up at the third floor. It's not nearly as nice. And not only that, but in the bedroom that my wife and I had, the bed, it looks like what is going on with the foot of the – why is the foot of the bed so much higher than the head of the bed? It's because the floors are slanted, and they're slanted noticeably. Not like you like, do I feel a little off? No, you see it. It was crazy. So we stayed there that night because we really had no choice. And it wasn't it was like in a really loud neighborhood. There was a bar across the street. And that night, the bar went on to like 3 a.m. and it was loud. It felt like you were in the bar. And I said, that's it. I'm not staying here again. And so we got another Airbnb and we actually ended up switching the next day, which was a colossal pain in the ass. But in the long run, it was good. We were there for 4 nights. So we might as well do it.
You get your money back?
Big fight, but yeah, we got our money back. He wasn't going to. He's like, "Well, you're past the date of cancellation." I'm like, "Of course, we're past the date of cancellation." But we only stayed here one night, and it's not as advertised. And he fought me back and forth on the text. And I told my dad, "I'm like, I'm dropping the P card. I'm using the P card." He's like, "What?" I'm like, "Parkinson's. I'm dropping the Parkinson's." And I literally gave him like a Tony Soprano thing, like, you know, my mother has Parkinson's and it would be a shame if something were to happen to her on your stairs, which you didn't advertise needed to be access to this. And then he immediately switches to and he's like, okay, you know, we'll give you back your 3 nights.
Well, here's where I think this is partially your fault.
Oh, interesting.
I would never let my dad be in charge of an Airbnb.
My dad's pretty good about that stuff, but yeah.
No, well, obviously not, because
Correct.
Look what happened.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
That is something you cannot leave to chance, and you can't leave to the generation older.
Is there anything more stressful than traveling with your kids and your parents at the same time? Like, I saw a family doing that today.
Yeah.
And God, I have such them for the wife and the husband. I just can't imagine both sides. It's very stressful. You have to manage them, Josh. Yeah. Josh, you need to do a better job.
Well, listen, I originally booked us into the hotel that was right there on campus. And then my dad was like, I don't want to be in a hotel, because he was sharing a room with my sister, because my sister was just going to glob on for no fare.
Dave, you see, Josh going to get another room.
Yes, I did.
We had your family as a trip. Let me know. Okay. Yeah. We will use the FTS treasury to get an additional room.
All right. You will, for my son's graduation, you're going to foot the bill for our wonderful.
Yes.
That sounds good.
For one additional room. Yes.
So I'm going to take it. There's a couple more things that I don't want to belabor this whole thing. I don't want to make it a whole story, but we're walking to meet my daughter, and we're very cautious about my mom. You know, we're holding her hand, and because she can't walk really long ways. We had to use an Uber when we had to walk a little bit longer, but we're watching her like, okay, here's step up, mom. You know, there's a curb here. And as we're doing that, my dad trips on the curb and he falls right in front of a PF Chang's, busts his knee open. Right? He's wearing khakis, blood coming through the khakis. I'm like, Dad, stay down. I walked into the PF Chang's. They were prepping for lunch, by the way. So they weren't even open.
Oh my
prepping for lunch. I'm like, hey guys, listen, my dad fell. Do you have band-aids? Do you have a paper towels I can use? He's bleeding. And they were so amazing. Shout out to Chef Jeff at the PF Chang's in Nashville, on the West End. Absolutely amazing, because he gave me he gave me cloths. He gave me new dish rags. He goes, keep them. Don't even worry about them. Just throw them out, because they were going to get all bloody. And he gave me Band-Aids. It was awesome. So they were really, really nice. But now we now officially own that PF Chang's. It's PF Josh's now. They were great. Then I had a rental car, because I had to rent a car the last day because we were moving my daughter out, right, and bringing all her shit back home. And thankfully, I checked on my reservation. I normally wouldn't. For some reason, I just checked my reservation, and it changed from an SUV to a luxury car. And I called him. I'm like, I don't want a luxury car. I want an SUV. I need the space. Like, oh, but it's a nice car. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter if it's a nice car. I need the. We're out of SUVs. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, well, I got to cancel it. I don't want it. So then I ended up having, and by the way, it was close. I could walk to the place. Now I had to rebook with a new company at the airport. So I had to take an Airbnb to the airport to get the car. It was
Airbnb to the airport. You mean an Uber?
Uber. Sorry, you can't take an Airbnb. I took an Uber to the airport. That's exactly right. And that was a shit show too, because I did it through Priceline, and then they couldn't recognize the price line. She says, we see your reservation. I see it here, but I can't process it. I can't give you the car. I'm like, well, why? I felt like it was a Seinfeld. Like, anyone could take a reservation. It's holding the reservation. Yes.
You had the experience.
Why do you allow Priceline to make reservations for you if you can't honor them? It was ridiculous. So that was a whole,
second fight. Second error in your story is using Priceline.
Why can't I use Priceline?
Priceline? No, that's two steps away from your product. What you don't you save how much on Priceline than just going
$200? $200 difference. $200, yeah. Which I had to fight Thrifty to get back, which I did get back, by the way.
Well, was it worth it?
No, it was not. And then the last thing I'll say on the way, we had a great week. We packed up the car. It was ridiculous. We're driving home, and in Virginia, cars were going a good 80, 70, 75 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden traffic just halted weird on the highway. And I slam on the brakes, car in front of me slams right into the SUV in front of it. Like just slams into it. Like you thought oh geez, are these people okay? And then I can't see out of my rear view mirror, because all my daughter's shit is blocking the car and blocking the vision. Next thing I know, this giant black SUV comes to the left side of me onto the grass median of this four-lane highway and goes around me. He must have been going 85, 90 miles an hour, because he was barreling. Had he not done that, he would have plowed right into us. So that was unbelievable. So that, but that was it. Other than that, everything went amazing, but it was,
how was the play?
Yeah, exactly. How was the play, Mr. Lincoln, but it was great. It was awesome. My daughter did a good job. It was very, we were very emotional. We're very proud of her. So it was a nice trip while we were away.
All right.
Is she good deal with honored?
She graduated with a very high GPA. I just missed the cum laude by like 0.05 or 0.5. She was pissed. So whatever it was. But she was, she did a great job. She had a great 4 years.
What does honors mean?
So it's like get a certain GPA, think where she is, it's a 3.9 starts honors. Yeah, it's crazy. Or 3.85, something like that. 3.85. It's something like that. She was off by less than 0.1 or 0.5. And it was... It's cum laude, summa cum laude, magna cum laude. It's all based on GPA, I think.
I thought 3.5 is where you get like
every school's different. Every school's really? Different. Yeah. Because we would have thought that too. I thought, oh, wow, her GPA is amazing. I'm like, she's got to have some honors. And like, nope, just missed it.
Well, still, way to go. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You should be a proud
very,
parent.
Very, very proud. It was awesome. So
resilient.
Now she's young an woman. Adult. Now she's got an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Is she staying in Nashville?
She's not. She's moving to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Oh,
really?
Yeah, for her job.
Oh, consultant?
So, no, not a consultant. But that'll be interesting. Cool city, but the winters are friggin' hell. And I told her that.
You should send her a Brett Stapler.
Yes, that's your office space joke. A swing line? Yeah. We'll get her a swing line.
Yeah,
very good.
Well, my other host here is Omar. Omar, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see he's not in his normal four or five locations he's at someplace.
And if you've been watching this far, you're probably throwing up from nausea from Omar moving the camera around so
very
much.
Very true. Omar, how you doing? Where are you?
We're all doing the best we can.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm in Europe at an undisclosed location near an ocean.
Rhymes with Bisbane.
Yes.
Good to think about that.
Bisbane.
Did you think whether Lisbon rhymed with Bisbane? Did that take that long?
Right. No, it does. And we're in the middle of a 3-week or 4-week road trip with me and Miles.
Your dog. But, your dog.
Yeah, Miles, my dog. Yeah, so we got into Barcelona. I went there for a bar mitzvah. I've never been to a bar mitzvah.
Nice.
I've never been to a bar mitzvah before, and I realized why now. I have not.
Was it fun?
It's very, very somber. It was very small.
Somber?
Your friend.
Those are not somber events. They're celebratory parties.
This was more of a, we're in the synagogue.
Oh, you went for the service.
Which was correct.
Okay. Yeah. The party's the
big party.
That's right.
Afterward?
Yes, it's a big party afterwards.
The service was there. I had to read a lot of things, a lot of like the language is, as you know, a bit overwhelming.
Yes.
I've never heard it before from the Torah.
Hebrew.
It's kind of intense. They have these scrolls that come out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Stuff.
It goes right to left, not left to right.
Yeah, I feel like I was reading from like, seeing a scene from like Excalibur because they're so formal about like the chains and the other things. And then, but I was in Barcelona. My main narrative is going to be about Barcelona. So, but I'll skip that part over until later.
Oh, okay.
I will say that I very much loved. It's probably the best city I've ever been to in terms of the most beautiful people.
Oh,
certainly the women, and it's incredibly biking friendly. So if you like to bike, there are bike paths everywhere. It's amazing. It's probably not new news to anybody. But oh my God. And that's the greatest way to learn about a city is
bike.
Is that.
Now you know, Barcelona, I was just in Barcelona last year. They are now very upset with the amount of tourists. Did you get any flack for that? Like the locals were, they literally shout down the tourists now because it's overwhelming in their city.
I was not shouted down. No.
You know what I mean. I don't mean shouted down. I mean, did you see any like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I made the mistake of trusting my team and my friend to pick the restaurants. And I just, it's like Josh and his dad. I just can't do that, including by the way where I'm staying right now in Lisbon. Because so So my point is the restaurants, I feel like I was at a tour. I feel like I was a tourist. I felt like Casa Bonita from South Park.
Oh,
the restaurants you went to. Right. There were dancers, and every 5 minutes, there's a flamenco dancer. Everywhere I looked, there's flamencos all flying all around or dancing all around. Right.
Yeah.
And then now I'm in Lisbon for this guy. I know a little bit. It's a work relationship. Like, and I had a free weekend. I didn't want to hang out with my team for the weekend.
Okay.
What's the purpose of that?
Yeah.
I said, that can be any fun for them or me.
Other than bonding.
Yeah, that's nonsense. Right. Especially forced bonding. So my point is, I can't. He's like, come to Lisbon, mate. Came to Lisbon. I let him get me a hotel. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I'm staying at an Intercontinental.
Oh, that's nice.
No, it's not nice.
Intercontinentals are nice.
No. I stayed boutique hotels, Josh.
Oh, jeez. Here we
not
go.
Not ones that are part of the Hilton network.
Okay? Do you want my dad to get you an Airbnb? Because I'll have him set you up with one there.
I feel like I'm I don't know, selling vacuum cleaners.
I mean, life that you have, let me just, for those who've never stayed in Intercontinental.
Can I complain to this guy?
No, it's a 5-star hotel. Intercontinentals are 5-star hotels, okay? They're not cheap.
Come on.
What do you mean, come on?
I don't know what 5-star means to you. Well, I don't know what that even means. Dave, would you agree with this?
Yeah, I think Intercontinental is in that 4 to 4.5.
Okay,
I think whatever. The 5
four,
is
four,
like,
yeah. 4.5.
All right, fine. We're splitting hairs here, and the people who are listening.
Well, there's a big gap between 4.5 and 5.
There's a big gap.
All right, come on. You're not staying at a Holiday Inn Express. There's no reason to shed tears here. Let's bring it back down to
honestly,
earth.
I'd be more comfortable at that place.
Get out of here,
I don't like, this is like, you know that service that's called Jet, you know, Jet Setter? You buy timeshares to fly private.
No, but go ahead.
Right. So you do that. So you just buy 20 hours a year anywhere you want on their jets.
Okay.
But you share with other people.
Yeah.
Who are on the same flight.
Okay.
Right.
So my friend Brett was like, this is the people who can't, people you never want to hang out with. People think they have money, but they really don't. Right. That's what I feel like saying at the Intercontinental.
Oh my
same
God.
Thing. Like, I don't want to hang out with those people.
The bubble you live in is just.
It's not a bubble.
It's, what do you mean it's not
I like
a bubble?
Being on the bottom or the top. I'm very comfortable at Holiday Inn Express. I am.
No, you're not.
Or
you lie.
I grew up in Maryland, bro. Totally am.
What do you think? All of Maryland is a Holiday Inn Express?
Very blue collar town.
It's not a town. It's a state.
Well, blue collar area. Blue collar state.
All right. Okay. All right.
I was pro-union until like just a few months
ago. So why don't you switch to Holiday Inn Express?
There's none of them in this city. When I travel, I have to take care of my body and my soul. Right. I might, by the way, change hotels. I literally might. After
you're
going to
change
after we,
from the Intercontinental.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not going to let him know. He'll find out, but I'm not going to let him know.
How many nights are you there for total?
2 nights.
So you've already spent a night.
No, I stay there tonight for the first time.
Oh, okay. All right. So you have 2 nights coming up.
I got the Lisbon today. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. Go for it. I mean, that's crazy
to
me.
Nice to stay at a cool boutique hotel.
Yes, it would
look,
be.
When
but...
you travel, when you travel half the year, and you're in hotel rooms that feel like you're in like another nondescript hotel room in another. I know it sounds crazy, but it grinds on you.
Okay, fair point.
You know,
that was the best argument you've made. That's the best argument you've made.
Not a bunch of marble and silver. It's not even silver. It's like pewter.
I agree. Is it the Hilton or the Hyatt? I think it's the Hilton that every hotel room, it's gray, black, white. That, you know, it's just a nondescript. I agree. It's depressing. They're all the same.
I guess if you're I can understand that. If you're traveling that much and you're in hotel rooms constantly, you want. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's just hard to poo-poo the Intercontinental.
Yeah.
That's a tough. All right.
Good
well,
deal.
That's exciting. Well, Dave, how are you doing?
David, how about you, David?
Thank
Tell
you.
Us about
you,
David.
Usually I'd fill in that dead air. I'm waiting for you to ask me how I'm doing. I'm doing okay. My daughter also graduated since we left.
Congratulations.
For the University of Indiana.
Very nice.
And it's funny. I won't go into the long story, but we also got an Airbnb that my wife booked. I didn't book, which I think I'll book in the future. I think these are things not left to chance. We all have hotel stories here.
Yeah.
But because it was very nice on the inside, the pictures matched, but the neighborhood was rough.
That's what you can't tell.
It was a very, very rough neighborhood.
Oh, boy.
And by the end, there were ants and fruit flies going around. It was kind of like we got.
How close to campus was it?
Probably about 10, 15 minutes. It wasn't too bad.
Okay. So you were a drive away though.
It was a drive. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's just kind of rural Indiana, you know, you're spaced out. Okay. So, Indiana is a little bit of a trip, but, yeah, so she graduated. I'm very, very proud
Congrats.
Of her, and she's got a job too. So she's launching.
Very good.
So we got one there. But, my, thing that happened to me recently is there were a few tornadoes that came through St. Louis.
Oh, right, right, right.
Some of them were in national news, and we had one of our large trees in our front yard fell and took out with the power lines. And so it didn't happen as the tornado was going through, but it was in the middle of the night. I guess all the rain kind of weighed down the tree, and then it fell. In the middle of the night, you could just tell, like, something goes quiet, like, you know, your air conditioning or something stops. Like, you're like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Yeah.
And you realize you lost power.
Which, by the way, is one reason why we didn't record earlier, because we were going to record and then the tornado hit. I remember that.
Correct.
Yes.
Hey, guys, you're going to hate me, but I think I have like 25% of my battery left.
Can you plug in?
Boy. I have the microphone plugged into the phone.
Can you go to conserve battery?
No, you don't want to do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Really?
You're good. You've 25% is going to make it. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Oh boy, now it's kind of
it's like a timeline. This is like a James Bond thing.
Okay, it's on the bar, so I don't know. Like, when it gets to red, I'll let you know.
Yeah, why don't you have the number there? Why do you just have the bar? Put the number.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to. Can I do that? You're going to let my mom?
No,
don't
do it.
Don't do it now. Don't touch it. Jeez.
Now, do you guys know where I left off on my story?
Yes.
I feel like you completely
tornado.
Tree fell. All
yeah.
Right. So then, so the utility people
came out,
fixed the wire. We got our power back, but the tree is laying across the street. Someone came in and at least cleared the street. But then I have this huge tree in my yard that's laying down, and so I call a number I had from another time, a tree service person. He comes out. He knocks on my door. We walk out and he says, yeah, I'm real busy here. And he said, I can get this out. You know, it's going to take some time. You know, we're real busy. And I said, can you do it? He said, yeah, I think I can do it. And I asked him.
Oh, how Josh, wait. Yeah. Josh, how much do you think it was?
First of all, this is the, you know what scene this is? Do you remember Vacation, the original Vacation, where he takes his car, he wrecks his car by going through the desert, 50 yards, Russ, 50 yards. And then he's got to pay the guy who puts on the bald tires and everything. He's like, how much is it? How much you got? He's got you by the short hairs. This is going to be at least $2,000.
So
I'm going to say I'll take you over.
Take over $2,000? Okay.
Yeah, because I said, how much is this going to cost me? And he did. He did the thing like, well, you know, it's gonna be a while. I got to bring you actually called me. I the number I had was from our cabin, not from this.
Yeah.
So he drove like 45 minutes to come to my house. So he's like, I got to bring all the equipment here. And I said, well, how much is it going to cost? And I realized at that moment, no matter what number he said.
You're doing it.
I was going to say yes. Yeah.
You had no choice.
I went through the analysis, like, whatever he says, do I just try to knock it down a little bit and see what he says? So I'm like, my mind is spinning. Do I say something? Do I just say whatever? So he throws out, very good, Josh, $2,000.
I knew it.
The tree is on the ground.
I nailed it.
They just got to saw it and haul it away.
Tree guys are the worst. The worst. We had trees removed, knocked down. They're the worst. I don't trust a single one of them. They inflate their prices like crazy. There's not a single consistency with any of them. The quotes are across the board. We had a guy out here telling us, you got to cut down these trees. They're dead. We're like, they're dead. And then no, we're not going to cut them down yet. And now they're blooming. They're blooming. They're not dead. They're not dead. They're assholes. They're all assholes. I apologize for any of our tree people who are listeners.
So I had a decision.
No, wait a second. Right. We also don't like tree huggers.
True.
So both extremes, we don't like.
Right, all right. Right. I don't know where to.
It's just like your hotel.
Yeah, just like
it's the opposite hotel.
Yeah,
you like the high, the low, but for trees, we want the middle.
We want the middle. We want to trim trees.
There were good people on both sides.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Oh my god.
So I had a decision. I could say, 2,000. How about 1,500?
Right.
And see what happens.
Yep.
Or I could say, sure. Do you want to guess what I said?
You said, no problem. Here's your money.
Yes, I said, sure, right. Here's whatever. Yeah. Well, actually, I did. I tried to be smart. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll pay $2,000 if you can get it done this week.
There you go.
That's right.
Boy, wait, you drive a hard bargain, Dave. Well, you really raked him over the coals.
Did you bring your hand to your mouth when you did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I was like, let me think. Yeah. Let me do the math. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll do you a favor.
Yeah, right.
I'll pay your price, but you got to do it. He came in the next morning, did it in like 10 minutes and was gone.
Of course he did. So 10 minutes.
He was, I don't know how busy he was, but he came in the next
because
day.
It's ridiculous. It's not what they make it out to be. They make it out to be like they're erecting an Eiffel Tower replica.
All right, let's start the podcast to see if we can get this in.
Jeez.
Real quickly, if you want to send us, we have emails and connections for us, but our email address is friends@fts.media. We have a website, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com, W-E-E-B-L-Y.
Did we get emails, Josh, from anybody?
We did not get emails this time around. No, we did not. But we did get...
Everyone thought we...
You know what that means? We did not have a good episode.
We can be found on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for Friends Talking Shop or at Friends Talking Shop for the other places. Just to go through this episode, what we're doing usually, we haven't changed our format in 88 episodes, which, by the way, 88 is a good number. Josh,
cool number.
It reminded me the significance of the number 88, and I should know this.
Mm-mm.
I'll give you a second, audience, to think this through. What is 88 culturally relevant? And it is the speed limit that the DeLorean hits before it goes
back to the future. That's right. 88 miles per hour, 1.21 gigawatts.
Correct. Yeah. So, episode 88. Anyway, we come together. We each come up with a topic that we haven't discussed before. Unlike what I'm hearing is a new phenomenon that people are doing podcasts of reading stories off Reddit. Have you heard of this thing?
No, I have not heard of that. That's interesting.
Reddit will not have
interesting
like,
at all.
Well, it's lazy, right?
Very.
Like, we come up with our own stories. We don't have to read Reddit to come up with stories. We live life.
We're not coming up with them. These happen to us.
That's correct.
Yeah.
These are real life, true crime, real life stories.
True crime.
So let's
Josh,
go.
Josh, do you wish that you had a third kid?
No.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of a very weird introduction there.
Yeah, that was no segue.
That was crazy.
I'm just thinking about how you guys are becoming empty nesters.
Yes. Yeah. Not becoming.
You think both of you guys?
Not becoming. We are empty nesters.
I am not an empty nester. I have two children.
Oh, you have two back? No, Dave got a boomerang. Yep. Dave got boomeranged.
I got boomeranged twice.
Yeah.
We're working on it. There's a pathway to being empty nesters.
Any other Tourette's outbursts before we get this going, Omar?
Sorry. No, I was thinking about it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Omar wants to talk, so let's go ahead and start with Omar's story.
Good idea before he conks out.
Yeah, Omar, what do you got going on?
So, you know when someone gets really, like, really sick, or something happens to you, you don't want to tell anybody. Why? Because then everybody comes up to you who knows about it and says, how are you doing?
Yes, of course.
Are you holding up okay?
Yeah.
And you have to talk to people who half of which don't even know your last name or know you. But it makes them feel that they can be, you know, empathic when there's really nothing behind
it. Sure.
So I'm going to say this to the audience. Please, nobody ask me about how I'm doing. I'm fine. And I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Unless I've known you for over 10 years. So Josh and Dave, you guys both qualify. And we have an active relationship. Otherwise, I don't know.
Are you talking about the brain thing?
I went to Barcelona.
Are you talking about the brain thing?
No.
Okay.
I went to Barcelona, and I was there, and I had two experiences that were both like near death.
What?
Experiences.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like legit.
All right.
So one of them, it's an incredible bicycling town.
Yes.
Right. And I'm very comfortable on anything with two wheels.
Of course,
you know.
Yeah, I could see that.
And so, I rode in New York City for a while, so it was amazing. And I missed something, and I almost got hit by a car. I basically rode through a highway.
What?
And I almost got hit by a car. Like literally, if I got a motorcycle, it could have. It would have for sure. I was listening to Bob Dylan and this whole like thing going on. This great vibes riding through this town of Barcelona. And then,
wait. When it happened, did it like throw you? Were you like, heart was in your stomach?
I started being more aware of the traffic lights for bicycles.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Yeah,
wake up call.
Yeah. So then I'm walking Chachi Boy.
Yeah.
Later on that day,
your dog.
Okay, I'm going to meet my dog Miles, and I'm talking to our friend Anand, who you guys know.
Yes.
And I have my backpack on. I'm walking Miles.
Yeah.
And I have my phone. And I'm walking, and
you're talking on it on the phone. On the phone.
Yes.
Okay.
All of a sudden, this guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, do you know where I'm going to ask you a question?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah." And before I could say anything, he grabbed my necklace. Look, it's gone.
Holy shit.
Oh.
He ripped it off your neck?
Yeah.
Is this, what time of day was this?
This is at like 4 o'clock.
So it's bright out. The sun is out.
Bright out. I was walking through this city, the cities, a lot of like small streets in certain parts of Barcelona.
Was it heavily populated? Were there other people around when this happened?
No, I was at a really bad spot. I feel it was a really bad spot to stop walking.
Oh, geez.
And my friend Amari always says to me that I'm totally unaware of my surroundings. I need to have better awareness.
Yeah, that's pretty true. So
I struggle with this guy a little bit, right? I kind of like grab him.
And, oh, you did?
Yeah, and then I hear Miles yell. So I lose my focus because Miles is whatever a guard dog is, Miles is the opposite.
Right. Yeah.
To be very clear.
Yeah.
So my instincts went to him. So then by the time the guy ran off.
Yeah, of course.
And I started chasing him.
What? With the dog?
With Miles.
With the dog?
Yep. And my phone screaming. Like, I saw my necklace. Somebody stop him walking up. He was in a straightaway.
Yeah.
And there was a guy on a scooter next to him.
And
they were kind of going back and forth with their hands. So I wouldn't know who to follow.
Right? They were a team. So they were a team.
Yeah. They were a team.
Yeah.
They were a team.
They did like a quick shell game in front of you?
As they were running away, the guy was on the scooter. And then they just split up. And I was like, I had nothing to do. So I
can't believe you ran after him. Just let it go. You don't know that this guy's armed or dangerous or anything. You got to let it go. It's only a necklace. I know it's.
Man,
I know
I'm from Baltimore, bro.
Oh, yeah. So, Mr. Intercontinental is not. Look,
you guys haven't seen me throw down and my I'm blue collar.
First of all, we talked about this on a very early episode, how you lost every fight you've ever been in.
That's not true. I've got the opposite. I went to a public school.
I went to public school.
Yeah, but yeah, when I grew up, it wasn't a place to go. My parents would not put me in private school. I'm much more around people who are like cut trees for a living, work on cars.
Yeah, me too.
And you financial engineers.
Have you ever punched someone in the face?
Yes, of course I have.
You have punched someone in the face?
Yes.
Josh, have you done that?
No, I've never done that.
Yeah.
Have you?
I can't say that. No, not like, you know, like in the movies, you know, I can't think of like
in
that.
The movies.
I feel like, you know, I think I've slapped somebody or like, you know, just to,
but not like a full. No, I don't want to. And nor do I want to get hit in the face. I have no desire to get hit in the face.
So then I'm like, you know, I was obviously like, you know, and, bummed. Really bummed.
How long did you run? How long was the chase?
I ran for probably 2 minutes.
Okay, so not long. Not long. Okay.
Yeah, I had my backpack on me and Miles.
Yeah, you're not going to catch him.
Yeah,
and even if you do, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to catch him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm gonna do? Well, they split up. I don't know. What am I going to do?
It wouldn't have mattered if they didn't split up.
So my point is, I'll follow insurance for it. I needed to I talked to my jeweler. He's already making them for me right now.
That's quick.
Will get to me by the time I get to Rome, which is gonna be in 5 days.
Yeah.
So that's great. And then I had to file a police report. That was yesterday.
Yep.
And I went, I finally went, they made time for me, they were great. And I realized that, like, you know, he was asking me all these questions and trying to like find me lying, which is very interesting. He's like, he knew the area. He was like, the guy came from this way. I'm like, no, he came from this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you said that. I did not say that. But I guess there used to be people like saying they got bugged for whatever reason. And he wanted more data. All I wanted was an insurance report.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean? You want it for your insurance. So that's right. Yeah.
I wanted to get in and out of there.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like giving him like very staid answers. But I realized actually on the way here that there's a specific type of scooter that you can just rent.
Yeah.
And that's the scooter the guy was using.
Okay. There's a million of them.
I'm sure they can like track the GPS.
Okay.
And see if what scooter was in that neighborhood at that time.
Are you going to Liam Neeson this situation? You're going
to if I cared enough to, which I don't have the resources.
Let me stop you right there.
To do that.
Let me stop you right there. Even if they could do that, these cops are not doing that. They're not doing it. They're not going to try to solve this mystery of what happened to the tourist dog necklace. It is something tells me in a town like Barcelona, it is not high on the list. It's just not.
Well, it's not the police.
He's not going to be able to get that data. How's he going to get that data?
In these situations, you got to ask.
I'm sure he did.
What would John Wick do? That's what you need to ask yourself. You need to put Miles in a safe place and go rogue in Barcelona. Go find this.
Get that dog necklace back.
That's right. Yeah, he took your dog necklace. There's a lot of John Wick John Wick's dog got killed.
He kicked my dog.
The case of the stolen dog necklace.
Yeah.
Barcelona edition.
Do you know Gun Fu? Are you familiar with?
No, I don't know Gun Fu. Is that what is Gun Fu?
It's Kung Fu, but you shoot the guy in the head at the end of your karate.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's
John Wick.
I'm not sure it's a martial art. I never saw John Wick actually. I know what you're talking about, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Omar, I think you got the beginning of an investigation. You've seen a lot of movies. You know how this goes.
Yeah.
You start. You go ask the guy.
Only I have that information. You know what?
Here's the problem.
I have a friend actually who I think owns that company. I know the guy who owns that scooter company.
It doesn't matter if you do.
Hold on. Yeah, this is what you do. This is your first step. You go to the scooter rental place. You ask a guy, "Hey, have you seen a guy in a scooter?" And he'll say like, "No." And then you jack him against the wall. "Where is this guy with the scooter?" And you start there.
It's not a scooter rental place. It's random scooters that you just touch your phone to and you rent immediately. You don't go.
Well, that's not how they do it in the movies, yes. Josh. There's a guy.
That's how these scooters work.
I know the guy who owns.
It doesn't matter.
I know the guy who owns the company.
Can I bring you guys back down to earth? You own the company yourself, you're not going to triangulate this and figure out where this guy is and go get him.
No, Omar, you go
to
that area.
Wait a second.
There's a guy.
If you own that company and I came to you, wouldn't you want to find out?
What
I mean.
Okay. But again, it's not going to give you anything.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get that guy's name to guess who? Amari.
Okay, then Amari can hunt him down. Let me bring you back to reality. You're in Lisbon for 48 hours, right? You're not even in Barcelona anymore.
Barcelona.
You're not even
that
in Barcelona anymore. You're not even there.
Yep.
This is not happening.
He's staying in a place. He doesn't want to stay here anyway. He's in a bad hotel.
Yeah, he's in a shit box.
I kill it back to Barcelona.
That's true.
And rain, hell down on that city to go find that necklace. Look.
This is a great.
I did not call it a shit box, for the record.
No, I know what you mean. I'm using my hyperbole.
Is it? It was the Lou necklace, though.
Yes, it was his Lou necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd never. Have you guys ever seen me without it?
Never.
No.
Yeah.
Can I ask?
I've had it for.
Can I ask another movie question? You know how, like in movies, when someone grabs a necklace and they
yank
it off, and it look, and I feel like, what if they ever did that and like the person didn't break and just
I was going to ask you that. Did it hurt your neck when he did that? I mean, because there's a clasp on it, right?
I had a scratch, a couple of scratches. They were trying to get me to file a medical report. I go, no way am I going down that road.
Yeah, don't do that.
That required me to go to the hospital and all that other nonsense.
That's right. You know what you should do, by the way? You should call. Here's what you should do. If you want to just do anything, I would call pawn shops in the neighborhood and ask them if they got it. Because that's what's going to happen. They're going to turn this thing around real quick.
That's a great suggestion.
How about that? That's why I'm
And then you jack the pawn guy against the wall.
You don't need to do that.
Sold this to
you. You don't need to do that.
That's a good idea.
Dave just wants to put a guy against the wall, ask him questions.
Yes, I do.
That's all he wants.
Someone's got to pay. I don't care if you're innocent or guilty.
That's right.
They gotta
someone's got to pay. Oh my God. That's I feel someone's I'm sorry pay. For you. I know you love that necklace. It's yeah. And it was custom made, and it's with your dog that you had for a long time, and so that was pretty special. That wasn't just an ordinary piece that you buy off the rack.
That is true.
So yeah, that sucks.
True.
That
we'll
sucks.
See if it. We'll see if the replacement. If I care, but hopefully I'll. Part of the brand, so I gotta wear it in Rome.
Yeah,
our event there.
You should have your guy make four of them.
Yeah,
there you go.
Did you wear one?
No.
In fact, weren't you wearing two necklaces? One of Lou and one of Miles.
Donkey Boy. That's right.
Yes,
yeah, as a matter of fact, they melted down to gold in Miles, and that's going as a part of the going towards this new necklace.
Oh my God. That's funny. No. Yeah, call so pawn shops. Like, call pawn shops. That's what I would do. I call jewelry stores and pawn shops and see if anything new came in. There you go. And then if that happens, that's your easiest solution right there.
Yeah. Look at us.
Yeah.
We're like a detective.
We're solving stuff.
Agency here.
We're solving stuff. We're solving stuff. Yeah.
Hey, this is an idea for a TV show. Omar travels the world, gets
mugged,
robbed, or has some kind of crime. Yeah. You know. Beaten,
so,
whatever.
So far, I love it.
The funny thing is, they had a translator, and the guy was like, "You should go if you have a scratch. You should go file a report." I go, "No, I'm fine." And he goes, "Okay." He goes, "Well, when you come back, next time when it happens, you should do that." I go, "What? Next time? What are you talking? Yeah. What are you talking about? Is that gonna be next time, bro?" Yeah.
He looked at you and said,
"That should be the tagline for Visit Barcelona." Yeah.
Get robbed again.
Yes. Yeah. At your next mugging, visit our hospital system. You'll love it. It's all socialized all right. medicine.
Josh, so what's your story
this
week?
That's my job.
Glad you're okay.
Yes, I'm glad you're all right. Don't chase down those guys anymore, by the way. That's a little dangerous. All right. So I just watched a documentary last night. And I actually had another topic, but this kind of superseded it. And the wife and I watched this one last night. It's called American Manhunt. It's the Bin Laden. It's the hunt for Bin Laden or whatever the hell the subtitle is called. But it's they walk you through like all the
what
shit.
What happened at the end?
Yeah. Spoiler alert. We got him. So if you haven't seen it yet, that's a big spoiler. He's dead. But it was fascinating because it walked you through everything that took place and all. That's very funny, Omar. Okay, you done playing around? Unbelievable.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah. There's going to be people walking behind Omar, by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, as he's on a path to the beach in Lisbon. Can there be anything more distracting?
Yeah.
But anyways.
I got Miles here too.
There you go. It's your dog, Miles. But anyway, this documentary is fascinating. It walks you through like even before 9/11, when he was wreaking havoc on everything all around the world, and all these intelligence officers and people that were just dedicated to getting him and finding him. It was amazing. And so it gets to the point, it's three parts. So in the third part, they finally have an idea where he is. He's in Pakistan in this town of Abbottabad in this compound, and they're not even sure, but they're trying everything they can to identify him, and they can't do it. Exactly. But they have all these ideas that this is probably him that's at this compound. And so it was a very, they were on that compound for a long time before they finally pulled the trigger. Let's do it. But what's crazy is once Obama gave the command, we're going to do this, we're going to go forward. Then they talk about like gathering SEAL Team 6, and they brought them out to this area, this desert, and they recreated the compound in Abbottabad. From what they had, all their aerial images and everything else, they literally built it. The
like the rehearsal,
yes,
the show?
Like the rehearsal, like the show, the rehearsal that's on HBO now with Nathan Fielder. They recreate it so the SEAL team can practice over and over again with every type of iteration that could go wrong, right? And the craziest part is not only did they rebuild it so they could practice on it before the real thing happened, but they tore it down every single night. Just in case anyone was spying or could see the image from above. So they built it and then tore it down every single day.
That seems incredibly inefficient.
Isn't that crazy? All for security reasons.
Why don't you just stop people from spying on you?
Well, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. You can't necessarily do that. But what you can do is at least prevent them from getting as much information as they could have had you just left it up. But they obviously, I think they built it in a modular way that they could keep putting it back up with somewhat of an ease, other than the first time they built it. But it was pretty amazing. But so this compound in Abbottabad, right? I'm wondering, because they never talk about it. Is it still there?
Abbottabad?
Abbottabad.
Are you being racist right now?
I am not being racist. That's the name of the town, Abbottabad. But I wonder who owns that Bin Laden's house. Are you taking pictures? Are you not paying attention to this podcast, Omar? Come on. We need you zeroed in.
I'm zeroed in.
You're not.
I listened to everything you said.
Okay. What did I just say?
Abbottabad.
Yeah. Okay. You're listening.
And wait. And because they were super nervous about being spied on.
Yes.
Right. Every day they would demolish it.
They did demolish it. They took it down. But yes. Okay. Very good.
Took it down.
But who owns that house now? Someone has to own that house, right? In Abbottabad.
I know who owns it.
Who?
Ready?
Yeah.
Halliburton.
Probably right.
Whoever owns it should make it an Airbnb. Is my thought.
Oh, you think it's
yes.
And Josh then, would stay there because Josh's dad would say that would save them $50.
You could try. You wouldn't save any money staying there because you if it was my Airbnb, I'd charge a fortune to stay at a Bin Laden's place.
Come stay here. The place is a blast.
Yeah, right. Now, would you stay there? Would you stay at Bin Laden's place? Obviously, you're not traveling to Abbottabad. But if you were, would you stay there? Would you stay in that Airbnb?
Yeah, I would do it.
Would you, Dan?
That's a really 100%. Incredible hypothetical. If I was going to vacation in Pakistan.
Right. And Abbottabad, by the way, a resort town. It's not a, they called it like a resort town.
A resort town. I'm going to say no.
You would not stay in the Bin Laden house.
This would be similar to the Airbnb.
Abbottabad is the French Riviera of Karachi.
Yes, considering there's no water. But yes, that's correct. That's right. It was a very nice town, they said. But you wouldn't stay there? Why wouldn't you stay in that house?
I need to see the pictures. I need to see because
what?
Because I'm guessing from what I remember from the time when I saw the highlights is this was not a luxurious place.
No, so. But for that area, it's really nice. I mean, it's a big house.
I'm having a hard time vacationing in Pakistan. I can't get over that part.
You got to get past that part. The question is, if you chose to vacation to Abbottabad, let's say your wife said, hey, let's take the kids to Abbottabad next summer. And you said, okay. And then you had to get the Airbnb. And there's the option for Bin Laden's house. Do you stay there?
Somebody just threw me a euro, by the way.
Yeah, because you look homeless.
They see my panhandler.
Because you have a number one, you have a dog.
Yeah,
yeah, and you look homeless because you don't have a luxurious, thick dog chain on. Like if you had that big dog chain, they'd realize you're not homeless, but it's gone now.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
that's true.
And anyone who's sitting on the thing with a dog looks like homeless, like you're panhandling.
Out of boardwalk.
Let's see how many euros you get. These people are all giving, they're making signs in the back. Know, this is hilarious.
The World's Number One Podcast, FTS.
There you go. They all want to be on FTS. Everyone in Portugal, they all want to be on FTS. So, Dave, are you staying at that Airbnb or not?
No, I'm saying no because I think it's a morbid thing. I think I don't want to sell it.
You want to celebrate Bin Laden's death? Absolutely.
I do not want to.
Really?
No, well, yes, I'm glad he's gone.
Right.
But I feel like it's just kind of a morbid thing to stay at the place.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
David's right.
I think it'd be pretty cool to stay where, I mean, it'd be a little creepy and weird, but at least I'd like to tour it. How about that? I'd like to go into it and see it.
Well, tour, different.
Okay, that is different. That is different.
I do. And I think you'd probably like to post the pictures on Instagram.
100%.
Like, look where I am, right?
Yeah.
That's what you want.
That's right.
I don't want to stay there.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Fair point. So let me go on to this next point. So then they also had a guy from SEAL Team 6 on the documentary, and he was the one who killed Bin Laden. He shot him. And he talked about going into the house and what happened and blah, blah. He walked you through it, and it was fascinating. And it was so cool. I'm like, this is the height of badass. Is this dude.
Can I hire this guy to get my dog necklace back?
Yes, you should hire this dude. It was unbelievable. But I'm like watching him and I'm listening to him. I'm like, how cool must it be to be this dude, to be this guy now? He went there in this covert operation no one knew about. Entered Bin Laden's compound, the most notorious terrorist of all time, and shot him dead in his own house. He pulled the trigger. So here's my question.
You know what's actually even worse?
Go ahead.
I bet you that there's one or two other guys who are better.
What do you mean
better? Who are on that team who didn't shoot him. So they get none of the accolades.
Incorrect. If you're on SEAL Team 6, you drink for life, my friend. No matter who you are on SEAL Team 6. Now, the difference is when they showed the pictures, they don't blur his face. They blurred everyone else, which tells me that the rest of them are still obviously in the forces, the armed forces.
No,
and he's
no,
not.
But they're not
he's
being
retired.
Interviewed like this guy
well,
is.
It's like
a guy
the
who shot Bin
astronaut.
Laden. This is like Emmett Smith on the Cowboys.
Right.
Because they're still in the SEALs. That's why. If they weren't in the SEALs and their identity didn't need to be, could be compromised, then they would be interviewed too, I would imagine.
But not as a person who shot Bin Laden.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like, Josh, you're trying to get like more of the props with FTS. You say it's I. I know, Dave, have you noticed that with Josh?
Like, yeah, Josh is the Neil Armstrong. He's the Neil Armstrong of our podcast.
You're the guy who shot Bin Laden of FTS. Yeah. Yes.
Boy, this did not go the way I thought it was going to go when I was bringing up this
going
topic.
Going on other podcasts, doing all kinds of interviews.
Listen, we're okay with it. We're okay with it.
You okayed it.
We went to the moon, too. We just,
these girls are petting Omar's dog in the background. It's unbelievable. Look at this homeless guy doing a podcast. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah. Hey, if you can interview somebody,
Well, let me ask you this real quick before he starts interviewing these randos. Let me ask you this. So this guy, let's say you're this guy or you know this guy, right?
Oh, look at that woman. Right,
ask him if
there.
They want to say hi to FTS. Podcast. Do they want
to
say hi to
Miles?
Do they want to say hi to America?
Yeah.
Elmar, ask him if they want to say hi to America and Friends Talking Shop. Come on, do it.
Come on,
we're live
Smooth.
On the air.
Let's go.
Ask them.
Do you guys want to say hi to America? They're making me ask you this. They don't want to say hi to America.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
They're saying hi to America.
Hello.
They're saying hello.
Welcome to FTS.
Hello, baby.
I know you're big fans. Yeah. We'll send you a headshot, a signed headshot.
Yeah,
okay,
they can't
ladies.
Hear you, idiot. Yeah. You guys have a good day. See ya.
Anyway, so if you're this dude who shot Bin Laden, or he's your buddy, right? The question is, how many times can you hear that story?
Oh, good question.
Thank you. Is there
That's
a limit?
That's I mean, my point.
So if
my point.
So if this guy is like, his name's, I don't remember his name, Brad or whatever the hell his name was. Let's say
his name is Brad Abbottabad.
No,
it's a lot of D's and B's.
Abbottabad's the town. His last name isn't Abbottabad. And if it was, I'm sure they wouldn't pick him for this mission. My question though is, let's say you're friends with this dude. How many times do you see him? Like initially I'd be like, tell me that story again, how you shot Bin Laden. And probably like the 20th time you're like, oh God, Brad won't shut up about killing Bin Laden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the limit?
Yeah.
Where is
That's
it?
A good question.
And if it was you, how many times would you tell it or try to crowbar into every conversation?
I think if the money I was generating from was going back to something that helped all of us as a team or the Navy SEALs, I would do it as often as
That's
I'd
not
be okay
the question, and you know it. The question is not
–
come on. The question is how many times can you tell the story about shooting Bin Laden without someone finally going, all right, that's enough?
It's like Rudy. It's like at least it's a more earned version of like Rudy Giuliani in 9/11.
Yes, yes, that's correct. Yeah. But he didn't really do much on. He was the mayor at the time, but he
Bingo.
Didn't. Yeah, there's a big difference. This guy did something. This guy pulled the trigger.
Yes, yes.
So
I think he has. I think he has a lot. I think I think he has a lot of. Latitude.
Yeah, I think it's...
Well, he's got a lot of latitude, but eventually, my question is, does that latitude eventually run out? Or no, does it never run out? Can you talk
about...
Oh,
no. We're on the same team. I don't want to hear it more than two or three times.
Two or three times, that's it?
Yeah. If I'm next to you and I'm in Abbottabad...
No. You're his buddy from high school. You're not on SEAL Team 6. You're his buddy, and he comes home. And he's talking and tells you, obviously, the first time you're like, oh, tell me that story again, Brad. How'd you kill Bin Laden? I want to hear it over and over. Then eventually, like 10 years from now, you're at a barbecue and he's like, this reminds me of when I killed Bin Laden. And you're like, oh, come on, dude. Right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that guy probably talked. Yeah.
Depends on how sure you know, how confident you are in yourself. If you're kind of a low self-esteem and Brad is going on all the time, I think
Brad
Abbottabad goes on. So you can't handle it. So, but if you have a pretty strong self-esteem, then I think you, I think you can go up to, I don't know, 10 to 20.
All right.
Maybe.
Okay. So there's a limit. In other words, there's a limit. In other words, it's not endless.
I think after a while you go like, you tell me that story, I'll be right back. And then you go someplace else. I think.
So the only analogy I can draw is I used to work at a company where I'm not going to say who it is, a former professional athlete also worked. And I got to be very friendly with him, and he was a nice and super nice guy, really nice.
What sport?
I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to reveal anything, but because I don't want to say I'm going to speak a little ill of him, but I really like him. But anyway, the first time I met him, like when I joined, I'm like, this is awesome. I know this guy. This is really cool, and I'm now going to work with this guy. It's awesome. And I would ask him. I go to lunch with him and ask him questions, like, hey, what was it like when this? You know, blah 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 blah. I want to get like real stories, and it was cool. And then eventually, and he would bring me into his office every once in a while. He goes, hey, Josh, let me show you something. The league just sent me highlights of this. And he showed me like some of his highlights that the league would send him.
The NFL?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh,
and good try.
Was this Puff Daddy?
It was not P. Diddy. It was not P. Diddy. Yeah,
he was showing me videos?
He would show me freak offs. But he would show me videos and I'd be like, this is amazing. And the first couple times, like, this is really cool. Like, you did, that's really cool. And then like the fourth or fifth time where it's like, hey, let me show you when I did this, which was the same thing you showed me before. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I can't keep watching the same.
So you went two or three times.
Yeah. So, but that's very different than, you know, doing something professionally in sports that's cool against someone who's very well known or in the Hall of Fame is amazing. Very different than shooting Bin Laden. But, you know, there's a limit. There was a time I'm like, oh God, I can't watch this guy's highlights anymore. I mean, I would like go a different way to my desk. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know he's going to pull me into his office and tell me about the time that X did X.
This is how I feel metaphorically when my phone rings and I see Josh's name.
Oh, stop. First of all, that's obviously a lie because I don't call you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, along my point, that shows that you have kind of a low self-esteem. You're a little bit, you know, it bothers you that this guy has highlights.
No. It just got repetitive.
I'm misinterpreting.
You're misinterpreting it. That's all right.
All right.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, check out that documentary. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing story.
Get Bin Laden. Yep. There's also a movie, I think, called Zero Dark Thirty.
Yes, Zero Dark Thirty. But that's a drama.
This is a documentary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Dave. Take us home.
So I'm going to do a quick one here. I had another one that I really want to talk about, but I want to go to this one. It's a sports related one, which might make your sister mad, yes, Josh.
It might.
I think it's an interesting idea. I don't know if it was Charles Barkley or something else I saw on Twitter or something, but it was during the NCAA tournament, the college basketball tournament. Mm-hmm. And they were saying how many NBA players, if they played on any college team, would automatically win the championship because they are so good.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, or how many in history? Let's go there. Let's say, so if you put Michael Jordan,
they win,
on University of Maine, you know,
that might not happen.
Nobody.
Yeah. I don't know.
Nobody.
No.
Think of it this way. Who was the most dominant player when they were in college basketball, when they were playing college basketball?
It was probably
Ralph Sampson,
Bill Walton.
Was really dominant. Shaq. Bill Walton.
Shaq.
But USC never got past to the Sweet 16.
LSU. Chris
Jackson.
LSU.
And Stanley Roberts. I'm sorry. LSU had Chris Jackson and Stanley Roberts.
They did. You're right.
They never got that far.
That's a great point.
Danny Manning led Kansas.
Yeah, but.
Melo led Syracuse.
Yeah, but
those guys weren't that. You know what I mean? I don't think the question really has a stable premise.
You're saying not if you put them on any random team. You're putting them on a subpar team. You're putting them on
any. They made the claim. So this whatever talk show or and I think it was an NBA player said that there were at least 30 players. I can't remember in the league at this time or just in history that you put them on any team they would win the championship. They're that good.
I don't believe that.
Larry Bird. Bird's a good example. Larry Bird probably was on a team that was, I don't know.
Indiana State. He was on Indiana State. That's true. But he didn't win. Did he win the NCAA championship?
Went to the finals.
Yeah, but he didn't win it.
That's because they had Magic Johnson on this side.
That's right. He didn't win it. Michigan State won it.
Well, okay. So how many in history do you think could be just about on, maybe not the,
like,
you know.
I'm like with Steph Curry, carry Steph Davidson. Curry, carry Davidson.
But they didn't win it.
Right?
They didn't
win it.
No.
Steve Nash got like Burt, whatever.
Dave's saying though is that's when they were in college.
Right.
When they were at the peak of their skills So in other words, the peak of their skills, which is way out of college because they got way better. Like no. Jordan,
I think Michael Jordan in his prime.
Right, could have you're taken talking about team. Michael Jordan in his prime. I think that would be the only
not
one.
Any team, not any team. Team.
But I think
you don't think so.
No, I agree. I agree with
maybe. Hold on. Are we factoring in the fact? Are we factoring the fact in college basketball today? No good player is longer there than his freshman year.
Yeah, you're talking about
whoever's in the tournament, you put them in the
tournament last year. In last year's tournament, you put them in
because
last
quality
year's
of
tournament.
Teams today aren't as good as they were years ago for obvious reasons. We all agree on that, right?
We do, but I still don't think one guy can do it all because you got to be. The problem is not on the offensive side. The problem is on the defensive side. That's the problem.
True. Well, the idea is probably they can score at will, right? It's because you're probably not going to say Dennis
Rodman.
Well,
you're going to double him up.
It's
you Wemby. Double him up.
Of course.
Wemby is an interesting.
I don't think it's Wemby. I would say Jordan or Shaq in the prime.
Shea?
In the prime of
Kobe.
Yes, in the prime.
LeBron.
LeBron.
How are we not saying LeBron?
Yeah, LeBron. Yeah. It has to be someone like that. But I don't think it's. I don't think. Pardon the pun, but I don't think it's a slam dunk that they win it.
Jokic.
I just don't think it's a slam dunk that they win it because.
So you think it's two or three?
I think it's maybe two or three.
I don't think it's any.
I wouldn't even go that far. I'm kind of leaning towards
two
Omar.
Two or three win it half the time.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards Omar. I think that's right because there are too many other factors.
Yeah. Well, this NBA player said 30.
No.
And I think he was saying 30 in the league right now.
They were just making
the point that the difference between the NBA, that your game improves so much when
you become
a professional.
It does. Maybe if you were put on a team that made the tournament, not just on any D1 team.
Yeah, I think it was any team that made the tournament.
That helps.
But,
that helps.
You could have the 16th seed is, a pretty
then
small school, though. Right?
I think anything above a 12 seed and above, I think you're right. Anything like 13, 14, 15, 16 seed, coin flip.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Because basketball is a very individual-led sport, right? One
offensively.
Out of five players
not defensively, it isn't.
Defensively, yeah, I suppose.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not defensively.
I think there's probably in history, I think there are probably 10 to 15.
Wow, that's a lot.
Of teams that made the tournament, put them on a random team, they win the championship in their prime.
I don't think there's any way to test this, unfortunately. Maybe when AI gets a little better. Or we get that DeLorean working.
2K.
But other than that.
2K.
But that's an interesting question.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that is a good question.
I had other ones, but I will save it for next time.
All right.
Anyway, well, thanks for listening. We're going to wrap this up. I just want to remind you that you can email us. Check out the YouTube this time around if you normally listen to us as a podcast.
Yes.
Omar is putting on quite a show.
This one is interesting.
Quite a show.
Yeah.
I have no gold. It's not that good of a show.
Well, it's got a good location, so check it out. It's on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Look up at Friends Talking Shop. Our email address is friends@fts.media. So reach out to us, and I hope that we're still in your feed after
I hope so. This was an interesting one on video if you get a chance.
Yeah, so check us out. So until we see you next time, bye, everyone.
See ya.
Smile later. Bye-bye.